विनोद ठाकुर आविर्भव तिथि की नित्य गुरु प्रेमानंदे ओम अज्ञानातिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमा ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि दिनामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपानुगवदायते जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा वेरी हैप्पी टू बी हियर विथ ऑल ऑफ यू देयर लॉर्डशिप्स and at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada on this very auspicious day of Bhaktivinod Thakur's appearance. I have been asked to speak to you on Bhaktivinod Thakur. I came to know about it only this morning. I was thinking I'm supposed to speak on Bhagavatam Shloka and I was waiting and asking for the Bhagavatam Shloka. This morning at Mangalarti, I was told that today is Bhaktivinod Thakur's day, you're supposed to speak in Bhaktivinod Thakur. I said, thank you. I shall completely rely on the inspiration from Paramatma and from Bhaktivinod Thakur to speak something of relevance on this very auspicious day. We often quote a beautiful saying of Bhaktivinod Thakur, he reasons ill, who reasons that Vaishnavas die. Those beautiful quotes and writings, songs of Bhaktivinod Thakur speak volumes about an amazingly humongous personality who strode like a colossus on the surface of this earth, maybe unbeknownst to many, but his influence and his very powerful preaching is what we are nicely secured in today, because he was a great pioneer, as we hear. Bhaktivinod Thakur's amazing appearance at a time in India when history of Indians, you can see in Indian history, Britishers were actually ruling, and before that was the Mughal ruling ending with Aurangzeb. And during that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared just before the Mughals started ruling. In 1486, the Mughals came in around 1536 to rule. Before that, there was a Lodi dynasty that was ruling, partially Persian and Mughal and everything. The Mughals actually started ruling with Babur and others around 1536. 1510, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he left in 48 years inside the Mughal rule. And then came all the Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya's wonderful disciples, followers, Shat Goswamis. And the Mughal Akbar is known to have met with Jiva Goswami and encouraged him to set up a library, gave him a grant for a library in Vrindavan, etc., etc. There was a little nexus between the Mughals and the Gaudi Vaishnavas. And after that, we have the British history coming in and the British setting up their business first in Calcutta. Then after that, very gradually entering India with a great strategy, not known much to the Indians. And in that, in 1838, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is appearing in a very insignificant village in Birnagar. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born to a huge giant family. And he grows up a very well-to-do family, very wealthy, with great influence. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur grows up in that amazing surrounding. Right from his very young age, a very precocious child, very well versed in learning, in his education. He moves from there to Calcutta, and then there's a lot of detail given about his younger life, which I'm not able to immediately recollect. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he got educated, a very illustrious education in which he excelled to a great extent. He was given English education, which was very uncommon those days. But he was from one of the forward families, the elite families. And so he was getting that type of an education. And he excelled in it to a great extent. It's mentioned in later years that his writings in English were read by the Britishers and appreciated. He was so good in the English language that his writings were appreciated by Englishmen. Of course, even today, many Englishmen come and say that Indians speak very good English. I keep hearing that here and there from even English devotees. And I heard recently that the Times of God is office set up in Calcutta, and they publish from there and using a lot of Indian people to do a lot of work to do that. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a great command of the language, and he excelled. This is something very, very irregular, in the sense that it's not common that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not only was he a perfect gentleman, an amazing human being, you see, if you look at the life history of these great personalities, acharyas, so distinctly different from great people in the world whom we know and we have maybe sometimes more knowledge about. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was great because if you look at him from the viewpoint of a Vaishnava acharya, the things that he accomplished was amazing. Each one of these great personalities, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, played amazing roles in actually bringing in Krishna consciousness in the modern world, at least in this day and age. So each one of them had unique contributions to make. And it was Krishna's arrangement that these great personalities were appearing at these particular times to introduce Krishna consciousness in a strategy that was already thought of and woven by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so they appeared specifically at those times. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he appeared, there were lots of things going on in the world at that time. Great things going on, especially in India. People were struggling with the British, and they were at the time facing the impact of the British on them. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was also at the at the right in the center of it, and we hear about this dialogue of Prabhupada meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur and expressing his concern about the fact that India will not benefit from the great teachings that Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur was trying to give, because first we should get free from the clutches of the British. To which Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur very historically, prophetically explained that that is of no consequence, and Krishna consciousness cannot wait, and it's far greater emergency to speak Krishna consciousness and spread Krishna consciousness than even bother about getting released from British shackles. So in this climate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he appeared. And it's very amazing to know that he got educated on many things. And at some point of time, he got very interested in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And he was looking to get volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he never found. He never found. He was so eager to read Lord Chaitanya's teachings, his life history, and he couldn't find the Chaitanya Charitamrita, though he knew the Chaitanya Charitamrita existed. And using his influence as a magistrate and his power, he tried to look for it, and he didn't get it for a long time. Finally, he got a very old manuscript, and he read that. Compare that to what we see today. Everywhere you see Prabhupada's books spread all over, and even though we have it around us, we find it extremely difficult to actually open those beautiful pages and read Chaitanya Charitamrita. We find, I know, I got a copy, I got volumes of it in my this thing, I'm going to read them. We're waiting and waiting. And here is Bhaktivinoda Thakur scrambling around looking for Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he couldn't find it. So it's a very stark difference between we in Kali Yuga, as members in Kali Yuga, and what Bhaktivinoda Thakur intended to do and wanted to do. And the situation in those times, how it was. Nobody respected Gaudiya Vaishnavas then. They were thinking very low about Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The people who were just posing as Vaishnavas just to get something for their belly. Petoba Vitoba, they will say, for the sake of something for the pet, we talk about Vitoba. So people were thinking very bad about Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gets introduced to the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, becomes so impressed with Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and delves very deep into Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And he makes it his central purpose gradually to propagate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So in the life of all these great acharyas that we think about and speak about, you can see there was no ordinary life. It was very extraordinary in the sense of the challenges that they faced to spread Krishna consciousness or practice Krishna consciousness in their times. And whenever we think about ourselves and our own saga, and life and practice of Krishna consciousness, you know, you become really humble, and you won't complain and crib anymore if you look into the lives of all these great personalities, under what situation and circumstances they actually practice Krishna consciousness and even propagated Krishna consciousness with the least facility, with nobody recognizing them, with immense austerity performed. So that is why they are so great. That's why they are so great and wonderful. We have to actually feel the pulse. We have to actually get into their shoes and understand what was going on then and what was the great contribution they made. How difficult it was to introduce Krishna consciousness in a climate that was filled with all sorts of hatred and very low opinion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur pioneered Krishna consciousness. Means he sort of reminds me of Varaha diving into the causal ocean and bringing Mother Earth planet up and putting it back into circuit. That's the type of thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur reminds me of. From a very low depth, he brought Gaudiya Vaishnavism and put it back into orbit. Respectable position. People started respecting Gaudiya Vaishnavas because of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contribution in reviving the philosophy and understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is very amazing. We wouldn't even get to know the depths of it. But simply scratching the surface, we know from our own Kali Yuga position, wow, this must be very difficult to do. But there's more to go, and we don't even get to know that. So sometimes we have a feeling that I'm not getting enough facility to preach, I'm not getting enough encouragement. I constantly get this, I don't feel encouraged. I don't feel encouraged to preach. I don't feel encouraged to follow my own spiritual vows. I don't feel encouraged in the system that you have. And it's always a great challenge to encourage devotees and keep them positive, to keep them happy in Krishna consciousness. It's some of the greatest challenge that I have ever, you know, faced. Forget money, forget anything else. But to sustain the devotees who already are existing in Krishna consciousness, constantly feeding them, is like running on a treadmill. A never-ending treadmill. You can never get off it. It's not like the morning exercise. You do it for 40 minutes on treadmill and jump off the treadmill. Imagine on the treadmill the whole day, puffing, panting. Ooh. Consistently you see that. Age of dissatisfaction. It's challenge. But when you look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the great acharyas, nobody was there to encourage them. Really speaking, standing all alone. And simply doing it out of inspiration. And having his association with Jagannath Das Babaji, with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and a few of the others, and executing Krishna consciousness in a pioneering sense. It's not an easy thing to do. That's why they are very great. They're great because in very difficult times they did amazing things. For us to achieve something great in Krishna consciousness now in Prabhupada's movement, I think is not really very difficult. Maybe in the Western world it's difficult. In India it's like, you know, you can lie down and take it. You can get a donation for a temple, you can get a land donated, you can get people becoming devotees very easily, listening to you and chanting Hare Krishna. And, you know, it's quite easy to do. I'm sorry to say that, but I think many of my Indian friends wouldn't like me saying this. But I think it is easy to do in India. But in the Western world, it may be far, far greater difficulties that you have to face to turn one soul to Krishna consciousness. I know that. And Prabhupada did that out of this great trinity, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sisi Thakur, and Prabhupada. Prabhupada was charged with the mandate to preach in the Western worlds. And that was his main contribution. He did that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mandate was to pull it out of the nether regions and put it back into orbit and set everything for Bhaktisiddhanta Sisi Thakur to come and establish 64 mathas and foundationally, you know, start promoting Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada took it all over the world. And you can see distinctly all three of them had a mandate, a specific mandate. Prabhupada's specific mandate was to preach in the Western worlds. And this is the reason sometimes I come to the Western world and preach. Because I want to also, as an Indian sannyasi, be preaching in the Western world to Western people. Apart from the fact that I preach a lot in India too. But speaking about presenting Krishna consciousness, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started Naam Hatha. And the great detail he went into, assigning positions, assigning duties, and making a total framework, a complete organization and structure, a strategy in order to preach, in order to get a soul into Krishna consciousness. It's amazing. We can't simply do preaching in this day and age too without taking cognizance of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. It requires planning, it requires structure, it requires execution, it requires a whole methodology and a process in order to preach Krishna consciousness. That's why Prabhupada set up a whole institution within which he set the framework, and we follow that framework in keeping with the previous acharyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he set it up. He also started the Vishnu Vaishnava Rajya Sabha, the first association of worldwide Vaishnavas. In fact, that's when ISKCON took birth, Vishwa Vaishnava Rajya Sabha. And before that, the Goswamis also were talking about it. And then here is Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Sasi Thakur talking about it. And all that paved the way for Prabhupada to actually do the Vishwa Vaishnava Rajya Sabha. And there are Vaishnavas from all over the world in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's a great achievement. And the foundation was laid by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Apart from that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prolific writing. His writings, every devotee gets attracted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings. In this day and in those days, even the Britishers got attracted, I told you. His writings were so much from the heart, full of bhakti, emotion, and expression. So direct, so wonderful that anybody would like to read it. I often quote an instance where one of Prabhupada's disciples, somebody here, senior disciples would know better, approaching Prabhupada when he is sitting on his desk and doing his work, coming up to Prabhupada audaciously and telling Prabhupada, catching Prabhupada's attention and telling Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings." Telling Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, looking at him from between his glasses, giving him a look. And that's it. He didn't say anything more. And then he keeps talking. And then between again he says, "I like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings very much." Then he goes on to say, "Bhaktivinoda Thakur is my favorite author." And this he says to Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada takes his glasses and keeps and looks at him squarely in the eyes and tells him, "Bhaktivinoda Thakur is your second best author." This is one of the most amazing comments I ever heard. I often cite this. And Prabhupada said, "Bhaktivinoda Thakur is your second best author." So much is filled into that. Prabhupada knows very well Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings. And Prabhupada is saying there in this loaded phrase that everything that you have read and appreciated in Bhaktivinoda Thakur is there in my works. And you must claim that I am your best author. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the acharyas are contained inside. And he said this very boldly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is your second best author. But it's not that many of us do read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, especially sing his songs, which are so wonderful, so crisp and wonderful expression of a devotee's heart. And he makes no bones about saying what he wants to say with great humility. And that humility hits us very deeply. And we can actually become very humble by reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings and his songs, his petition to the Lord. And what a humble state of mind he puts himself into. If we keep reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's works and his songs, we can actually remain, at least to some extent, humble. And humility, mind you, the type of humility that Bhaktivinoda Thakur expressed or showed, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur showed, or Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada showed, is not one of, you know, foolishness or docile expression, fawning, I am your servant, you know, I'm good for nothing, I'm a fool type of humility. They were very powerful personalities. Their humility is an expression of their internal strength, their dependence on Krishna, you know. It's not about having low self-esteem, or about, today they're talking about having an overestimation of yourself. They talk about the Dunning-Kruger effect in psychology. These two guys did research and found that most people overestimate themselves. I mean, he didn't know about false ego, etc., maybe. But most people overestimate themselves. On the other side, a lot of people suffer with depression and low self-esteem. But humility is none of these two things. And neither is it humble pride. You know, some people try hard to be humble, but actually they are puffed up inside. I call them humbly proud. Prabhu, we try hard to be humble. I mean, genuinely, I want to actually be humble, but how do I do that? It's not coming through. At least externally, I try to do that. I shave up my head, I wear a tilak, and I say Prabhus, and I, you know, bow down, I lick the floor. I do everything, but it doesn't come out, humility. It just doesn't come out, because it doesn't come like that. It comes out of immense service and deep reflection and understanding about the greatness of Krishna, about loving Krishna and developing that love for Krishna. And in front of that, when you express yourself in humility, that is genuine humility. So humility is not something that's lying around as a quality, you can pick it up and wear a badge. Bhaktivinoda Thakur exhibited that in his works. You can, when you sing those songs, you know this is coming from the heart. He's, you know, expresses it so wonderfully, and in his writings. So we're very grateful to Bhaktivinoda Thakur on this particular day for actually paving the way to understanding deep Krishna consciousness. What should a person really do? In his Bhajana Rahasya, he analyzes sadhana so deeply, amazingly deeply. He talks about the psychology of a bhakti yogi and what are the pitfalls. Wonderful analysis, so analytical. Everything that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you could draw a big chart about every time he analyzes something. I feel like I should draw a big chart. Everything he analyzes, highly analytical about every aspect of bhakti. So much to learn, such a great contribution. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contribution and his expression is so important for us. And they are all embedded in Prabhupada's books, in his life, his teachings too. The same humility of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yesterday morning we were reading the purport to Tat Vag Visargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlokam Abaddhavatyapi 1.5.11. And there Prabhupada is speaking with great humility about his composition of the Bhagavat and how there are faults in it, and how English language is not his language, and how he's compelled to present it in English language in spite of the faults, and then he glorifies Bhagavat as being something potent in spite of these faults, with great humility and presenting Bhagavatam. I know it's not perfect, but it's needed in human society. So humility means strength. Humility means realization of the absolute truth. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur exhibited that. Not that I know these things, but from my little understanding, I know these are very powerful personalities. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at a time when, it's not that, like I was saying, that these are personalities who, everything that you go through, they've already gone through. Every type of challenge, every type of difficulty. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's schedule was so, you know, rigid. Even the Britishers appreciated it. He was a magistrate. There were three magistrates, and one was an Indian, the other two were Britishers. One was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he was so capable, highly talented, very disciplined person. Very disciplined. So disciplined he was that the Britishers actually sent people to spy on him. How could he be so good in his disposition of his duties? Because when he came to office, he would dispose cases like nothing, very efficiently, and extremely good judgments. You know, pat, 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 he'd finish. And then he would go and work on his, you know, writing in the night. So it seems they send spies to actually see where people are actually meeting him and he's taking any bribes after office hours. I'm from India, I know this is very common. In fact, it is so common as a common cold, they say, that you have to give money to get something done anywhere in India, not only in private places, especially in government offices. I consistently deal with it. And there are expectations, and we like to, you know, give them less than expected because we are Hare Krishna, and it doesn't work. They actually, because you are Hare Krishna, you should give us more than what we expect. That's the way they look at it. Real, you know, foxes, wolves and tigers exit in those places. But they thought that these Indian guys, they must be doing it. And they sent people to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house to see. They found that this man is doing something completely different. He's got nothing to do with the people he met in the office up. He's a very religious and pious man. He's got his own discipline. And he's sitting and writing the whole night up to 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And there's no scope of anybody meeting him. Not this type of a person. For bribes. So he was very paka in his execution of his duties. And he had a whole schedule. I remember writing down Bhaktivinoda Thakur's schedule and keeping it up. So unfortunately, I don't have it here for reference. But so perfect. His chanting, japa, is attending to his family members. Such a huge family. Attending to his family members. Attending to his work as a magistrate, and then preaching, and then writing volumes, prolific writer. All these things he did within the 24 hours. So amazing person. And the way he utilized his time personally. And as a magistrate, he brought about great changes in Puri, in the temple and administration, much to the dislike of many of them who were ruling the roost then, and getting a lot of gains. Bhaktivinoda Thakur came in there and set things right, procedures and the worship and the timings and donations and everything he set right. And the Britishers liked him for this very much. He was paka. And then there were people like who claimed to be, there was Bhishakshena who claimed to be an avatar of Mahavishnu, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur challenged him. He was fearlessly challenging him. Everybody else was telling him, beware of this guy. He has got all sorts of powers. He's got black magic powers, voodoo stuff, and he can do things to you. And this has happened to this person, this has happened to this person. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not bothered. He actually headlong went and clashed with him and challenged him. Got him imprisoned. Got his head shaved. Got all sorts of things done to him, unless finally he became powerless and he actually died. He stripped him of all his powers. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur became very famous for that. He was fearless. He overcame this person who was a false avatar, claiming to be one. Today, in India especially, right in the city where I preach, my developing a project is maybe one of the greatest of such persons, world famous, long beard and a powerful presence in social media and talking about all sorts of things with great authority, and also saying that I have nothing to do with Vedic scriptures, I don't read them, I'm not influenced by them, but he comments on everything to do with, you know, religion and Vedic scripture and everything, goes around to call that person is a fool, he is that, he is this, and walks around free. Nobody challenges him. Nobody challenges him, actually. But I can imagine, and these days, there are so many such people. They speak with impunity, all sorts of things they want to. I am God, and you know, God is dead, and all that stuff, everything spoken in India, rampant. And people are writing their own Gitas, and why only Krishna should speak Gita? Here is my Gita. And they write it, and there are people who read it, and they have parents who advise the children to read this Gita, not the other one. All sorts of things going on. I wish Bhaktivinoda Thakur would actually reincarnate and do the necessary to some of these people. We don't have the power to do it. It's not an easy thing to challenge somebody who's very popular and very well known and tell him you're bogus, you're nobody, and arrest him. And say, I'll stand anything that comes in the way. Doesn't matter. And actually be victorious at the end of it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's children also were affected because of that. Many things happened. So similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is known to have relied on the Srimad Bhagavatam for actually driving away a ghost staying in a tree. People were talking about the ghost and its wreaking havoc and everything. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had somebody who came to him for alms, a scholar saying, I want my daughter to get married. You can help me in some way. He said, yes, I can. First you do this. You sit under the tree and read the Bhagavatam. I'll help you. And he had that man sit under the tree and read Bhagavatam for one whole month. Little did man know what he was going to achieve and accomplish. At the end of his reading, the tree crashed and fell down and the ghost was gone for good. Bhaktivinoda Thakur helped that man. He said, wonderful, thank you. And he did whatever help he needed to do. He drove the ghost away. And everybody knew that Bhaktivinoda Thakur did this by relying on reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. So we use this day to inspire people, Bhadra Purnima, to actually help distribution of Bhagavatam sets. Bhaktivinoda Thakur took it his life's mission to preach the Bhagavatam. And today, by Bhaktivedanta Swami Thakur's Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada's efforts, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam with us in so many languages. I, for one, have a personal small story to relate that Prabhupada appeared in the Jaladuta in Cochin, in Kerala. I am a zonal secretary in that place. I also look after the BBT in that area. And 5 years before that, we did a sankalpa that we will offer to Prabhupada the Malayalam language version of the Bhagavatam. And it was a big task. And 35 devotees worked all over in different places, translating, proofing, editing. And we had so many challenges. Right when we had finished 6 cantos, the disc in which everything was stored crashed. And I sent it to Bangalore and that place and this place to retrieve all the data. And the data never came through. We redid everything. We redid everything with bits and pieces of proofings that we had. And we recomposed everything. And amazingly, that time I was offering prayers to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur, to Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. That on that particular day, when the ship docked, and Prabhupada got his copies of the Bhagavatam from Bombay, come there, and then they went into the Jaladuta and he left after that. So we said, on the day he loaded onto the Jaladuta, the Bhagavatam said, we should release the Bhagavatam on that day. 50 years later, it was in 1965, August 21st, 22nd, that the Jaladuta came in there. So we said, in 2015, August 21st, 22nd, we should release the Bhagavatam and give it to Prabhupada, saying, 50 years, some gift we want to give you in Cochin. So the devotees worked hard for 5 years. We got the whole thing translated. But amazing things happened before that. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any money. And although I requested other BBDs to help me, they said, no chance. They said, no chance. I thought that, okay, let's give it up and let's... And then somebody told me, no, You should try. We should try something. And in Kerala, they do a pre-publication scheme. I said, why don't we do this? And amazing thing happened. And I'm very sure it's by the blessings of all great acharyas. I went around selling the Bhagavatam even before it was produced. I said, take it in advance. I give it to you at this money. And you will help me print it. And I took a tour and met with all Keralites all over the Middle East and Gulf. And you'll be amazed to know, I booked 1,000 Bhagavatam sets. I can't imagine me doing it at all without the blessings of Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. And I got all the money up hand, up front. And then I used it to print it. And I was in tears and great emotion when it came hot from the press. August 20th night, it came to me at 12 o'clock. It was hot actually from the press. And the next morning, we drove the whole night to Cochin. We wanted to do it there. And we took a hall, and there were devotees from all over Kerala who came in, and we did a samarpan, an offering of the Bhagavatam to Prabhupada. And I was in tears because I don't know how 1,000 Bhagavatam sets were sold by me in advance. I told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, it must be you and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisanshi Thakur. You want this to happen. Otherwise, how will I be able to sell your books even before they were printed? And 1,000 sets of the Bhagavatam. You must have done something about it. Because I have, you know, pipsqueak of a guy, can't do this. Can't do this. I just wanted to do it because you wanted to go and preach even though you're 70 years old. You wanted to make some effort towards carrying out the instruction of Bhaktisanshi Thakur. I also thought that I should do something about it, at least scratch the surface that I tried to do this. And then this has happened and this must be your magic because I know I didn't do anything great. But people helped all over. They gave the money and we produced it. I was in tears and I still feel very strongly the presence of the previous acharyas and Prabhupada especially in the endeavors that we do. So they are present for anybody. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is present, is my firm belief. You will see this written down in the Radha Damodar temple, Prabhupada saying that all these previous acharyas, they are present here. The Shat Goswamis are present. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is present. We just have to connect with them. So today is the day we can actually pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and connect to him. This is our philosophy. They are not gone. They are available if we follow their instructions and if we endeavor to present Krishna consciousness sincerely to the people. Whether we are capable of it or not, doesn't matter. Making an effort connects us with them. Prabhupada says in the second canto and also in the Bhagavad Gita, the disciple meets the Supreme Personality of Godhead in executing the orders of his Guru. Beautiful. That's what Prabhupada did. That's all of these people did that. All of these great acharyas did that. And today is a great opportunity for us to connect with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashay ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Guru Premanande. It's 9 o'clock. Hare Krishna.
I just wanted to let you know that she's here.
Jai.
Yes, he recognizes. His name was brought up, and he recognized.
Under Yogamaya. It's the influence of
Yogamaya.
Hari Hari.
Right there.
So I just wanted to point that
out.
And then if I could meet with you for just like 30 seconds afterward. And
sure. Haribol, any other comment? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Very happy to be here.
I won't take too much time. There were two things, but I'll just say the shorter one. That Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did something very amazing, and it happened by Krishna's will that 1896 is the year that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's The Life and Precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to McGill University in Canada. And that's the year Srila Prabhupada was born. And Srila Prabhupada noted this in his teachings of Lord Chaitanya, because it was very significant, because, you know, he did the work for him, laid the foundation. So that was very nice. And the second thing, real quickly, was I think he sent Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to, because there was so much caste system rampant, and the Brahmanas were looking down on Vaishnavas because of the upper sampradayas. And Vinod Thakur was invited, but he sent his son, and he like totally destroyed the whole, you know, Brahminical. They were so, yeah, this whole caste system, he said. They were feeling very happy because he was glorifying the Brahmanas, but that's real Brahmanas. And then he said how the Vaishnavas were more exalted, and everybody wanted to take the water from his lotus feet when he finished. So, very powerful, potent personality. Thank you for your...